In this book, in this series, and the study that many of us are doing, I'm noticing that Bob Goff in the book seemed to be leading us in ever-increasing circles. Circles of our own expansion on how we live as disciples, circle of reaching out and often outside of our comfort zones. So we began with our neighbors, kind of the smallest circle, those closest to us in proximity, whether it's where we live or where we work, where we hang out, and an invitation to love people where we are. We have to start with who and what we are. And then we moved to those in our acquaintance, a little bigger circle, the people we encounter as we eat the places we eat and shop where we eat and shop where we shop and work out, whatever it is we do in our life. And there we talked about telling people how God sees them, who God made them to be, and we'll hit on that a little bit again this morning, about loving them for who they are, as we are loved for who we are by God, and considering what it means to catch each other on the bounce, that life can be full of circumstance and we don't know where another person is unless we're in their shoes. And sometimes we're catching them between one hard fall and another hard fall. And last week, Chad talked about what it means to not play it safe, that mistakes and failures are a part of life for everyone. It's okay to try, to fail, to learn, and move forward. For us, for everyone, this is the grace on which our faith is founded. And there's a phrase in a piece of writing that I love that says, "How can I withhold the grace that has been so freely given to me?" And this morning, we look at a new way to grow into love, to become love, as Bob Goff says. So we'll explore that together. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your inspiration, in your word and in the Gospels as we read and hear the stories of the life of Jesus and the comfortable and risky and audacious and challenging and outside the box ways in which he ministered and taught us to live, that we may minister. And the inspiration in the words of Bob Goff and the way he has heard this and translated into his life and the being he was made to be. May we hear, may we imagine, may we watch with open hearts and minds, that we may become the love you have created us to be. In Christ's name we worship, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So opening up to God, which I think is also part of these bigger circles, we're opening up our own beings to God, is partly recognizing our own need for God and following that invitation to become who God wants us to be for our transformation, for God's work and purpose. But it's also about moving toward other needy people. Even those that make you uncomfortable or that you might find, in Bob's words, creepy. A bit creepy. And that's a whole nother circle, isn't it? You know, there are things that we avoid. And in the series of stories for today, Bob talks about encounters with people throughout his life. People who are difficult, people who he might not want to move toward, people who scare him, or in his words, creep him out a bit. And I'm reminded of the phrase, "fear not." So last winter in this congregation, we did another, I think, five-week series on the Adam Hamilton book, Unafraid, and looked at the place of fear in our own lives and in our world. And we found that "fear not" is a scriptural phrase, it's an edict, it's an invitation that is written dozens of times in the Bible. And yet fear is a natural thing. We were reminded that noticing difference in others is a part of our human wiring. It's a survival mechanism that is built into our bodies, and our internal instantaneous thoughts and reactions happen, and we don't need to judge them. They just happen. And we need to trust those for our safety and protection. That's kind of the survival part of that instinct. Yet we also need to be able to take some moments and pause and sort out that natural instinct from a rational, more modern, perhaps more compassionate view of the true danger. And when do we move away from others? And when do we move toward them? And I think some of the answer lies in this trial and answer practice, success and failure, grace and forgiveness, widening of the circles in our own lives. That's all we really have been building. That's the journey of faith, isn't it? And Bob has an interesting way to consider how to become closer to who God has made us to be. So we consider this morning just kind of the lowly bucket. This is a sand bucket, obviously. It's the closest I had to a bucket that wasn't full of dirt and plants this weekend when I looked. And Bob has taken some inspiration from a children's story that it turns out took its inspiration from a 2004 organizational personal development book called How Full Is Your Bucket? Maybe some of you are familiar with it. In this book, the authors Tom Rath and Donald Clifton, a grandfather-grandson team, explore how using positive psychology and languages and messages and everyday interactions can dramatically change our lives. They suggest that we all have a bucket within us that needs to be filled with positive experiences, such as recognition or praise. When we're negative towards others, we use a dipper and we take away from their buckets and diminish their positive outlook, and we also deplete our own bucket. When we treat others in a positive manner, we fill not only their buckets, but ours as well. And while acknowledging that most lives have their share of misfortune, the authors posit that how people handle that misfortune depends on how full their bucket is and how much positive regard they have for themselves, how much positive regard others share. And what I found fascinating as kind of following this thread online is that there was a subsequent children's book or two. And this whole concept has turned into a fairly big classroom management and character building tool in schools. I've been watching Roxy's face as I've talked about this, and she was an elementary school teacher, and this is part of it. So if elementary school kids can understand this, we can understand this, right? And Bob takes it a step further and says that we become those things with which we fill our bucket. And so if that's true, then what do you want to most fill your bucket with? What do you want to put in your bucket? Sometimes when I'm considering who I want to become and how I want to behave, I return to the fruits of the Spirit written in the letter to the Galatians by Paul. And in chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." There is nothing in that list I don't want and don't want to be. How about you? It's about as good as it gets. There could be some other things: bravery, vulnerability, confidence. A good singing voice could go in my bucket, and I might be a little happy about that. But first on the list, and the core of it all, is love. In your bulletin today, if you can get that out, you'll notice a drawing of a simple bucket. And we're going to take just a minute, so you need to find that, and you need to find a pen if you can. And we're actually going to take about 30 seconds, Toby. And I'd like you to just note on the outside of your bucket some things that you would like to put in. What do you want to put on your bucket? And Toby's going to play a little music while we do this. So just write down some things you want in your bucket. Perfect, Toby. Thank you. So thank you for doing that. We'll return to our buckets and this concept in a while so you can keep jotting as you go through this morning. But let's watch a video clip and see how this has played out in Bob's life. For a time, he literally carried a bucket around with him through his life. Let's see what that looked like.
I have a friend named Randy. He's the pastor of a church. He's got a band called Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I know it sounds like a law firm, but he's a really terrific guy, and he's also the pastor of a church. And he asked me if I'd come speak at his church, and it was about a year in advance, so I said, yeah, sure, no problem. Well, you guys, I get there, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm like, Randy, did you know it was Super Bowl Sunday when you asked me? He's like, yes, I knew nobody'd come if you weren't here. I'm like, I hate your guts. So I spoke at this thing, and I'm rushing home to be with Sweet Maria because I don't spend many evenings away. And I get to the airport, and I pull up to the rental place, and I got that guy. Have you ever had that guy? I mean, he's so slow. My clothes are going out of style. Entire seasons are changing. And I'm so frustrated. And then I looked in the passenger seat and I saw my bucket. And for the next 30 minutes, I said, fill it with patience, fill it with patience, fill it with patience. And when he finally got to me, I mean, I got there in spring, he got there next Christmas, and he opened the door and he said, how was your rental car experience? Man, in the old days, I just would have clocked him. But because I'd been filling my bucket with patience for all that time, you know what? I got out of the car. I said, you know what? It was awesome. I had a great time. I love the car. I love you. I love waiting. We're good. And I started walking to the airport to get a new flight, and because mine was long gone. And he grabbed me by the shoulder and he said, I just want to tell you that was an awesome sermon this morning. I said, no, you were there? What if I had said what I was thinking, like old Bob? And instead, I said the thing I should have said, which is new Bob. And the promise of Scripture is that we each get to be new creations. I mean, I've lived with all the earlier versions of old Bob for 58 long years. But new Bob, I just met him a few hours ago. And I get to say, who's that new guy? You know, I want to have that new car smell, that new creation smell. And I think you do too. And if you want more faith, you just got to do more stuff. And you don't do stuff because Jesus needs your help. I asked him. He wants your heart.
I will tell you, in the course of my life, that anecdote, that situation, I have certainly realized the truth is, and I think most of us have, whether it was as a parent trying to be a good role model for my daughters, or as a business owner, as a staff member here, and 1,000% as a pastor of your church, I never know when those unkind, impatient, kind of let the bottom of your bucket feelings fly moments will find their way back to you. In those moments of recognition, those moments of where have I seen you before, how much do we want those moments to reflect the good things in our bucket? How much do we want those to reflect who Jesus is in us? So how do we learn this? Sometimes it seems like I want God to micromanage my life, to tell me what the plan is, what to do, when, how, where to do that. And yet, God doesn't really seem to do that. There are glimmers and moments of insight. There is a book, the Bible, that has been given to us for guidance and direction. That's where those fruit of the Spirit come from that I read, that I turn to. And there is this community and community of small groups and friends in which to try and work out ideas and faith and doubt and see reflections of ourselves in different ways. But in it all, God seems to trust me, to trust you, to trust us all to figure it out. We talked about that a bit with the Birchwood sale. God gave us this vision and this plan, and God trusts us to work it out, and we trusted God. Doesn't mean we'll always get it right, particularly if we're not playing it safe, but we are called to keep trying. In the scripture that we read this morning, as Jesus is praying for his disciples, he tells them who he is, who they are in his eyes. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So Jesus is telling his disciples in this prayer who they are, filled with glory, one with Christ, one with God, unified, loved. And we are all people of God, disciples of Christ. In chapter 14, Jesus tells another story about a son. Along with parades and skydiving and surfing, it should not come as a tremendous surprise that Bob Goff flies airplanes, right? This particular story is about a seaplane that his family uses to access some property in a lodge they own in British Columbia. And this place is only accessible by water, so you can either take a boat in or fly. So, of course, Bob bought and learned how to fly a plane. And he had a son who was in his senior year of high school who was struggling to keep focus and motivation, so they incentivized him with flying lessons, and his son had gotten both his pilot's license and his seaplane rating. So one day, Bob and his son are flying, heading to the lodge, and Bob decided to make a particularly different approach and land on a different lake. And he did that and landed it. It was a little hairy, but they were celebrating. But then he handed the controls to his newbie pilot son and said, "Get us out of here." And he did. And they circled around. Then he said, "Go land on that lake." And he did. And then they did another takeoff and another landing, and the story is one of kind of this cycle of doubt and fear on the part of his son, probably some doubt and fear on Bob's part, but Bob just squelching all of his qualms and keeping quiet and letting this play out, letting his son to try, of learning and mistakes, fortunately, without any major calamities. So Bob was demonstrating his trust in substantial ways, filling his son's bucket up with trust and assurance and confidence. I'm going to read you a little bit of this chapter. He's talking about how God does the same. God sits in the co-pilot seat, doesn't shout instructions at us, doesn't freak out when we're trying things. God hasn't been shouting instructions to me as I've made mistakes because he doesn't need to. His silence isn't indifference, it's engagement. He isn't quiet because he's run out of things to say or is scared about the outcome. It's because he already believes in me just as much as he already knows the outcome. He already believes in you too. He's so confident we already know what to do next that he's willing to be silent even when we ask for his voice. He doesn't care as much as we do about whether we perform perfectly or not. He just wants us to be his while we do it. God wants your heart in that video clip. Most of us don't need more instructions. We simply need someone who believes in us. And a little further on, God knows that without risk, we can't grow. He didn't promise us a safe life. Instead, he said he would give us a dangerous, courageous, and purposeful one if we'll take him at his word and stay engaged. Sometimes God is confidently quiet. He doesn't give us more explanations. He knows we don't need more words of instruction. The moment we take even a tiny shuffle forward, what God is already thinking about us is this: I love you. You've got this. You know enough. What big idea do you have that you've not pursued because you didn't know if it would work? Who have you wanted to reach out to in love, but you were afraid you'd be rejected? Who has broken your heart? Who took advantage of you? Who misunderstood you? Who do you need to forgive? Now is your time. Don't wait any longer. You know what to do. You've got this. You know enough. Go land the plane. God trusts me. God trusts you. He trusts us to help build his kingdom on earth. To trust myself, I think I have some things that I want to put in my bucket, and you've written down some things for yours. Patience for sure, gentleness, acceptance, love, absolutely more of love. And I like elsewhere in Bob's story, he talks about filling the bucket up 30 seconds at a time to try and live those things out. And Mark and I have our 4-year-old granddaughter with us this weekend, and Friday night she went to sleep, I think, in under a minute. She laid down, I read a page of a story, she was gone. Last night I was an hour and a half into this before I gave up and called her mom and said, I give up. I don't know what to do. And somewhere in that hour and a half, I really needed to be filling my bucket with patience 30 seconds at a time, because all of my reserves were gone, and I really needed God to be the kind and gentle and loving person that I wanted to be with this dear little being in my care. But my bucket sometimes is already a little full with other things, right? And your bucket is too. So there's some control issues in there, for be sure. Fear, uncertainty. Let's get rid of that one. Wanting to be right. Okay. The perception of others. There's just a lot of unneeded things in my bucket, and they take up a lot of space, and they get in the way of these things that God is saying, who I am and of who I want to become. Because those things don't look like love. They just look like a mess. What do you need to take out of your bucket? What gets in the way of you doing what Jesus is calling you to do, of trusting yourself and God enough to land the plane? So take another moment and write one thing in the middle of the bucket on your bulletin that you would like to take out. And here's the deal. I can pull, and you can pull, and we can pull things out of our bucket. But on my own, they'll often end up right back in there. Kind of doing that under my own power. And our spiritual journey to becoming love is most often aided by our surrender. God, I want to let this thing go, and I don't know how. Patient Lord, show me how to become who you have made me to be. Jesus, I give up. Let's do it your way for a while. And in other spiritual language, this is really true self, false self things. We get rid of the things that are part of kind of the shell and the mask and what we've put on to navigate through woundedness and brokenness and what the world requires. And we allow our true self that God has made to shine through. And in a little bit of a plug for the Enneagram class that I'm leading, that's why I love that tool. It really helps me to do that in a different way, to really look at and understand myself and to know best how to give that to God. I'm going to read one more passage, closing of chapter 17. So Bob's talking about walking around with his bucket. As I think about it now, I realized I look pretty silly walking around with my bucket, but I probably look even sillier walking around with all my pride and selfishness and impatience. Even more so to the people who are closest to me, the ones in my life that it wasn't working for. Same is probably true for you and the ones you love. Now when I'm feeling overwhelmed by distractions or someone hurts my feelings or I'm feeling a little impatient, I grab my bucket. I still mess up more often than I wanted to. When I do, instead of beating myself up, wishing I were the guy who had it all figured out, I hear the gentle and kind voice of Jesus reminding me once again to stop laying sod where he's planting seed. I'm going to just kind of envision that. Sod is perfect, but it's pretty fixed. His reason is simple. He's more interested in making us grow than in having us look finished. I realize that God wants me to know I'm just not quite there yet. Because this is a lifelong journey, my friends, for all of us. And I love these words from Paul to the Philippians. I'm going to offer them to you. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I'm going to invite the praise team to start making their way forward. And I'm going to remind you, next week is our last week of this series. You'd be reading about chapters 18 through the end. If you're following along in the book, I will tell you, be prepared to have your mind blown a little bit. This is one of the most incredible invitations to grace that I've ever heard. So pray with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you for creating us in your image. May we think about all the words that would describe those things that we want in our bucket. They are different from us all, and yet they all point toward love. May we surrender the things that we want to let go of. May we invite, accept, work with you to create more of who you are in and through us. We thank you for this time together today and for the words that guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.